The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, hopefully you are aware of the fact that this Thursday is Veterans Day, November 11th, as always, Veterans Day. But did you know that this Thursday, November 11th, is the 100th anniversary of the laying down of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? Going back 100 years, so November 11th, 1921 is when that first took place. So the 100th anniversary this Thursday, and if you've ever been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers, particularly if you've ever watched the guards at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, it's just a remarkable, majestic, somber, humbling experience and so honoring of the men and women that have served this nation, especially those that have fallen. And the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is something that you should see it at least once in your lifetime. And this is their creed. This is called the Sentinel's Creed. My dedication to this sacred duty is total and wholehearted, and the responsibility bestowed on me, never will I falter. And with dignity and perseverance, my standard will remain perfection. Through the years of diligence and praise and the discomfort of the elements, I will walk my tour in humble reverence to the best of my ability. It is he who commands the respect I protect, his bravery that made us so proud. Surrounded by well-meaning crowds by day, alone in the thoughtful peace of night, this soldier will in honored glory rest under my eternal vigilance. That's the Sentinel's Creed. The name of the book is 21 Steps Guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, beautifully illustrated by Matt Tavares and written by Jeff Gottesfeld, who's an American novelist, a playwright, screen and television writer, and in the last several years has really been focusing on children's books. And this one is absolutely spectacular and beautiful. Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, it's beautiful. I'm speaking to you from Washington, D.C., and I laid flowers at the tomb this morning.
Oh, man, that must have been quite a remarkable honor. There's not a lot of people that get to do that. Because you're up there. You've got a lot. Yeah, I was going to say, you've got a lot going on up there this week, and I didn't realize this Thursday, November 11th, was the 100th anniversary of the actual tomb itself. And then, of course, it's mind-boggling to me, and I just learned this from reading through your book. I was able to get a copy that the guards have been there 24/7, literally since July 2nd, 1937. It's really just an awesome thing to contemplate. What was it, Jeff, that kind of led you to put together 21 Steps?
Oh, I grew up, basically, is the answer. I mean, when I was in high school and college, I was a Vietnam War protester. You know, my outlook on the United States military then and most American institutions was skeptical at best. But I grew up and I lived in different places in the United States. And I lived in Europe for a while, and I came to believe, with good reason, that the United States military is probably the greatest force for good that the planet has ever known. So with that attitude, I became open to writing this kind of book.
Yeah, because I was reading that every year you're visiting different national cemeteries, and that's something, and what you mentioned, Jeff, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us, is something that most Americans lack perspective. They never leave the country. They don't travel around and see things. They're pretty much just stuck within 100 miles of where they graduated from high school. But it's I think what you've experienced, Jeff, is something that especially in the younger generation need to experience. I understand the skepticism or the disinterest. I teach U.S. history and civics myself to high school age homeschoolers. But it's so wonderful to hear your story. And I think there's a lot of Americans that need to experience the same thing that you have. I don't deify the founding fathers, nor do I deify the military or the country itself. But boy, we should certainly have a deep level appreciation for it.
It's done a great deal of good. And those tomb guards, they are men and women, as I say in the book, you know, from the perspective of the first unknown who's telling this story, they are men and women of every race, religion, and creed. Before joining the Army, they were students and mechanics and supermarket baggers. And on the mat, you know, whether they are from California or Oklahoma or Texas or are a member of the Choctaw Nation, their standard is perfection.
Yeah, and that's one of the only places I've ever seen that standard achieved. What's the significance of 21? The name of the book is 21 Steps. We're talking to Jeff Gottesfeld.
It's a great question. It's a great question. Kids raise their hand and ask it whenever I talk in school. It goes back to the Middle Ages, pre-Christopher Columbus, that when a sailing ship appeared on the horizon, it was not always a good thing. You didn't know if it was coming with hostile intent. So a custom developed where big ships would fire their cannons out to sea seven times if they were coming in peace, and then the shore battery would respond with 21. And that was the sign that everything was going to be done with respect and honor. And that's where it came from.
Yeah, that's so much about this story and what's going on at the tomb 24/7, literally day and night, no matter what the weather is, what the time of the year is, no holidays off. It's so pregnant with so much meaning and knowing that it goes back to that. But 21 actually has significance in the way that they actually perform their duties, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So they've taken this 21 and they have threaded it through everything they do. It is 21 steps across the mat, marched in a way that their heads stay at level, their gloves better hold their rifles, and then they will stop and face the field, turn it for 21 seconds, turn back for 21, and then 21. It is 21 after 21 after 21. In reverence and honor for the unknown.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. When they first, and we were talking to Jeff Gottesfeld, who's the author, and then beautifully illustrated by Matt Tavares, 21 Steps. I've got the link up so that you can get that. And by the way, even though this is quote-unquote a children's book, I mean, I was just captivated by looking at it, and it's beautifully illustrated, and the story in there is told in the first person from the unknown soldier. It's super powerful. So who cares whether you're a child or not? We should all have a copy of this. So I've got the link on for Amazon so you can get the book. But it really is something that kind of takes you aback the first time you see it, Jeff, because we're just not used to seeing that level of perfection. We're going to hit the break here in a second, but on the other side of it, I want to talk to you about what's actually going on up at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and what your experience has been there and kind of how you researched and then writing this in the first person of the unknown soldier himself, which isn't the only one that's been laid to rest. The first one, which came on the heels of the great First World War. We're talking to Jeff Gottesfeld. 21 Steps is the name of the book. Beautifully illustrated, beautifully written. Jeff, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to pick it up there as we honor our veterans this Veterans Day on Thursday, the 100th anniversary of the laying down of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
There's a man going around taking names.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, this Thursday, November 11th, Veterans Day. So make sure you observe that accordingly. Pray for those in the military, those that are serving us, the men and women in the military from the top to the bottom, and honor any veteran that you can. But this Thursday, November 11th, is the 100th anniversary of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It goes all the way back to November 11th, 1921. Shortly thereafter, 16 years later, the guards at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, that started on July 2nd, 1937. And ever since then, 24/7, no matter what time of day, whether there's people there or not, whether it's nice weather or horrific weather, they are there. We're reading this little excerpt here from 21 Steps, Guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier by Jeff Gottesfeld. And illustrated by Matt Tavares is just an incredible book. I got the links up on Facebook Live today so you can get that. Great idea for a gift for Christmas, by the way. Anybody that's served in the military will love this. Children will be fascinated by this. But whether you're young or old or grandfather or mother, whatever the case may be, this book is captivating. It's beautifully illustrated. It's a powerful message that we're losing in this country just in terms of honoring the men and women that have served and the good that this nation and particularly the military has done for other people around the world that don't live here. Is something that we need to honor and pay attention to. The tomb guards are men and women of every race, religion, and creed. Before joining the Army, they were students, mechanics, and supermarket baggers. They have names, families, and stories. Once on the mat, they are only Americans. Their standard is perfection. And that's from the book 21 Steps. Really, really powerful. Again, Jeff Gottesfeld is with us. Jeff, again, thank you for taking the time to be on the show today.
It's an honor to be with you.
And just wonderful to have you here. So tell me about your experiences out there, and like, how did you prepare for this? What kind of research did you do in order to be able to kind of take on that position of speaking in the first person for the unknown soldier?
Yeah, so look, you know, I'm not military. I'm a civilian, and I don't come from a military family. So I approached this task with the greatest humility of my life. Mm. I read everything I could. I watched every documentary I could. And then when I felt sufficiently prepared, I got the help of some tomb guards who were willing to read every word and critique every word. So by the time I was done, I was as close to perfect on this as possible. And Matt Tavares was the same way with his artwork.
Yeah, it's really beautiful and captivating. What were those soldiers like, the ones that you interacted with that have served at the tomb?
They were some of the finest young men and women. And yeah, I mean, some of them are women who I've ever met in my life. They said to me, like, here's the question they get asked. Isn't this just like too much? The spacing of the medals and singeing your uniform for loose threads and checking for dust and lint and all the 21s. And one of them said to me, I think about the unknown when I'm out there. And he gave everything. The least that I can give is my very, very best for 2 years. That sums it up.
Yeah, and it's really amazing, Jeff, and I appreciate you sharing all this. It's really amazing that, and thank God that we still have young men and women that have that kind of tenacity, that kind of internal fortitude and desire to serve sacrificially, that they kind of see the big picture, because our country is slipping away from that quickly, as you know, and you were down that road yourself. I've been down that road myself, where we don't really appreciate it. But to have young men and women like this that just see past kind of the noise of life in the 21st century and everything going on, and that they value country and value somebody that nobody knows, the unknown soldier, really is encouraging and quite challenging to me that hey, do I think like that? The level of honor they have for this duty is incredible, and for 2 years, I mean, it's just kind of mind-boggling.
If you could see me read this book in front of a young audience, even in a big city, you would be heartened, because these kids understand things like reverence and devotion and courage and discipline and respect. They just don't hear it that much.
Right,
so
exactly.
Here's this children's book, you know, that shows soldiers who gave everything, including their names and their faces, and then more soldiers who give everything in devotion to the unknowns. They're transfixed by this. They love it. They get it.
What was your goal, Jeff? We're talking to Jeff Gottesfeld. 21 Steps is the name of the book, Guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Beautifully written and beautifully illustrated by Matt Tavares, who you mentioned. What was your goal in writing this? What was your hope?
My hope was that for just a little while, a young person will get, you know, it's a bit of an outlier in children's book land. There aren't many like this. That they will stop and think about the importance of selfless service and selfless service to a country. You know, the tomb, you go to Arlington, you've been there. It is a place where identity is given up voluntarily in selfless service to your country, at least temporarily. And all those veterans have done it. And it is really, really good for us. I wanted to send that message.
Yeah, and that message has been received. It must be, and you mentioned this, Jeff, it must be incredibly gratifying. And really to feel the hand of the Lord on you when you're there talking to these young kids and to see them transfixed that way. What were you expecting when you first started to read the book with the young audience?
I don't know, Steve. I feel almost like I was called to write this. I'm an unlikely messenger here in many ways. You know, I'm Jewish, and like on Yom Kippur, there's this prayer at the beginning of the services where like the rabbi or the spiritual leader would say, I'm not worthy to do this. And I'm not really worthy to write this, but I was called to write it, and I did it. And now to see the impact that it is having on people of all ages, as you said, is just gratifying. I want to do more. I want to do more like this.
Well, I think, and that's, and you and I are in a similar vein on this one, because that's why I teach high school age homeschoolers. I've got 7 classes and 115 students every week. And I look at them going, they're not really going to get this kind of story or information or the truth of these things. And I try to be as honest and straightforward as I can, because they're not really getting it in a public school setting, even in a lot of private school settings. And something like this with 21 steps at a very young age, as you mentioned, they understand those things because they haven't been tainted yet. They're still open to hearing these things, and especially captivated by a moving story and the illustrations like this. And I think that's on us to continue to not give up on these future generations, as our founding fathers would put a premium on their posterity. I think we need to do the same. It's a calling for you, Jeff, obviously, but I think it's a calling on all of us, don't you think?
It is. I often say that you can't blame people for things that they haven't been taught.
Wow.
And this book is a way of teaching, but also elevating and, you know, pushing. You know, I'm all in favor of values like kindness and compassion and tolerance. I'm the first one to embrace those, but they're not the only ones.
Yeah.
And values like courage and discipline and honor and respect and appreciation and gratitude also matter.
Yeah, they also matter, and that's a message that definitely needs to be heard. The name of the book, 21 Steps, Guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. You can just Google that or go to Amazon. I've got the links up on the Facebook live feed today, and I'll put it on my regular Facebook page after that. But, Jeff, what a great job. God bless you, sir, for taking the time to do this. It's been awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It's so good to have Jeff Gottesfeld on this Thursday, honoring veterans. Another thing that we try to talk about as often as possible on this show and in my classes when I'm teaching U.S. history or civics or Christian ethics, the issue of life is going to make a regular appearance on this show. I don't really pay any attention to whether people think I bring it up too often or force it into the conversation too often. This is something that we cannot let slip down the line of things that we pay attention to or that we care about or that we pray about, the issue of life. So we're honoring our veterans. Now let's spend the rest of the show honoring life. Nobody does it a whole lot better than our friends at Love Life. I've been trying to help Love Life and been a part of Love Life for several years now. It's just an outstanding organization, and God just continues to expand their territory and their reach. And it's just been awesome to watch it. Josh Kappas, one of the leaders at Love Life and a longtime friend. Josh, thanks for calling in, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to hear your voice.
Likewise.
So let's do, for folks that might not be very familiar with Love Life, let's do kind of a Love Life 101, a little reintroduction, if you will, the history of Love Life. And then we'll talk about what's been going on this year. For the last year, it's been a lot of changes, a lot of growth, and then some big things going on this week that we want to invite everybody to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when people ask what is Love Life, kind of my elevator pitch is Love Life is a ministry to the church. So be mobilized. Evangelical churches to come around abortion vulnerable families. The way that we do that is by hosting 40 consecutive weeks of peaceful prayer walks on Saturdays in 14 different cities currently around the United States. And we ask pastors to adopt one of those 40 weeks to bring their people out. We walk that church through a 4-step process based off of Nehemiah's story, and that's hear, pray, go, and connect. So the Sunday of an adoption week, the pastor preaches on life. Wednesday, the church prays and fasts together. On Saturday is the actual prayer walk. It's a peaceful prayer walk. It's a worship and prayer service. It's not a protest or a picket. And then at the end of that prayer walk is really the key element to our mission of changing the culture towards love and life, is where we ask people to get involved in ongoing ministry. So we don't want people just to check the box, to come to a prayer walk, check the box, they did their pro-life good deed for the year. But that prayer walk is meant to be a moment where the Lord opens their eyes to the mission field in their city, and then to ask themselves the question, what does the Lord want me to do? Is it mentoring a family and discipling a family that chooses life? Is it getting out there on the sidewalks during the week, offering the hope of the gospel and the help of the church? Is it orphan care? Is it rescuing the orphan, not only in the womb, but outside of the womb, that's in foster care and needs a forever Christian family? Or maybe it's post-abortive care. And so there's all sorts of ways for people to get involved. But at the end of the day, we exist to unite and mobilize the church to create a culture of love and life that will result in an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. And so just real briefly on our history, you know, we were founded in 2016 in Charlotte, North Carolina, after a handful of Christian business owners invited our founder, Justin, who was also a business owner, still is, out to a meeting at the local abortion clinic, one of the four here in Charlotte, where the Lord really opened Justin's eyes to what we call the tragic truth of abortion in our city, that 30 to 50 babies were being aborted on a regular basis there each day. And in reality, there was just a small handful of faithful Christians that were out there. And even speaking from my own story, you know, prior to Love Life, I was at that same clinic, and the thought never occurred to me that I should bring my church there.
Yeah.
But the Lord raised Justin up and gave him a clear vision for how to get the church out to this mission field, to be exposed to what's going on, but to bring the light of the gospel. We're not there because we hate abortion. We're actually there because we love Jesus, and we love people, and Jesus cares deeply about the people who are there. And you know, what started with just a handful of people in Charlotte has now grown. After week 40, Steve, we're going to be over 100,000 prayer walkers.
Wow.
And we're in 14 cities. So we went from one city in 2016 to Greensboro and Raleigh in 2018, and then Manhattan in 2019. And then, of course, last year during COVID, the Lord used all that craziness to kick us out of the nest and start taking this across the nation. And so, you know, we went from four cities to now 14 cities, and by God's grace, we plan to launch 14 more cities in 2022. And so it's been incredible. I have more stories to share, but I'll just kind of pause there, and I think I've covered the 101.
No, I think that's great. And one of the things about it, and I'll say this to my students, I say it on the air with people when it comes to the life issue. I always think of James, and James said, "You show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by what we do, by what I do." And for us Christians, listen, I don't know any born-again Christians that are serious about their faith that aren't convictionally pro-life. Okay, that's awesome.
Right.
That's the default position you should be. There's no argument there. Theologically, it takes about 30 seconds to get you across the line on that. But then the question is, what are you doing with that convictional pro-life position? What do you do with it? As James says, you'd say, hey, I'm a pro-life Christian. Okay, that's great. But what are you doing about it? Because in this culture, and what we've seen since 1973 and before, to use the word genocide is not over the top. It's not hyperbolic. Whether we're talking about 62 million dead children here in America or the 40 million per year worldwide, this is really kind of one of those things for a Christian that the question isn't, should I be involved? The question is, what are you doing? And that's what really happens when you go out to a prayer walk. It sensitizes people to the darkness and the relevance and the need to get involved. I've seen it happen time and time again.
Right. Yeah, and that's the beauty of Love Life. As I said, you know, I was a partnering pastor. In fact, our church still partners with Love Life before I came on staff. And, you know, for the first time there, I just never thought this is where I should bring my church. But then when I went back and Love Life was there, and they showed me a pathway to activate my people, I went from, you know, why would I bring my church here, to I have to bring my church here. And what's so great, not only in our church family, but in so many now, we partnered with over 500 churches across the nation, is that not only are people getting activated into one of those four specific ministry areas, but Christians are just being awakened in their own walk with Jesus. There was a woman in California earlier this year, she said, I was a dead Christian. I hardly read my Bible. I hardly prayed. And then I started volunteering with Love Life, and I'm out on the sidewalks, and now I read my Bible every day. I pray. I'm seeing God do miracles through my life. And so the church is coming alive, and Christians are getting away from pew sitting and getting into the mission field, using their gifts that the Spirit has given them, using their personalities and their life experiences to engage with people with the hope of the gospel. And it's a beautiful thing, the miracles that are happening, the transformation that's taking place, and it's spreading like wildfire. We had to stop recruiting in the middle of this year that we just had so many people coming in. And just we just felt like, hey, we got to pause here for a minute to be faithful to these 14 cities that we have and make sure they're healthy before we just keep adding new cities. And so God is doing an exciting thing in the church. And COVID and all the measures, all the craziness that's happening, all that's doing is serving to awaken the people of God, the people who are filled with the Spirit of God, who know this is our time to stand for Christ, to love people well, to stand on truth, and to get out of the four walls of the church and make a difference in the world that we live in.
That's right. And I think that there's a lot of hidden blessings there in COVID. I mean, I was there in Greensboro on Facebook Live the morning that Justin Reeder and several other pastors got arrested because they dared to come out and pray in public next to the abortion clinic, and that Greensboro, as well as North Carolina, rules on COVID restrictions were ridiculous. And I tell people all the time, and my students as well, this Saturday, which we'll talk about on the other side of the break, is the Week 40 celebration. So I'll be bringing a bunch of students, my students, out. But I tell people all the time, Josh, you know this, that, hey, this is like a spiritual wake-up call. You go to a Love Life prayer walk because, and it's going to sensitize you, just like the story of the woman in California. All of a sudden, it's going to be like electroshock spiritual therapy, because this is the darkest place you can go in America spiritually. It's literally across the street from where babies are being killed, moms are being deceived, fathers are abdicating their responsibility. I mean, it's dark and difficult. The people there on the other side of the street hate us. They don't want to see us. It's all flipped upside down for them. What's evil is good. What's good is evil. But it will awaken a spirit in you that's like, okay, so this is really what it means to walk with Jesus, is to live in the midst of that spiritual warfare and to bring the love and the truth and the extension of the gospel wherever you can go. And so it really has an impact on the rest of your Christian life, not just your pro-life position.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, like so many things, Satan loves deception, and he loves to lull people into doing nothing or doing the minimal to get by. And so, you know, for years and years in this country, and especially in the church, abortion's a political issue. It's out of sight. It's out of mind.
Yeah.
If we can just get the right Supreme Court justices in office, this will go away.
Right.
I can give money to my local pregnancy care center, and they can handle it. And listen, they do a phenomenal job. But this issue requires the body of Christ.
That's right. You need the church. Josh, I'm going to put you on hold. Hold that thought. We're talking to Josh Kappas from Love Life, lovelife.org. This is Steve Noble. We'll tell you what you need to do when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Honoring life today as we try to do on a regular basis. Lovelife.org/celebrate life. That's the website I want you to go to. Lovelife.org/celebrate life. Coming up this Saturday is going to be week 40. This is the final week of the 40-week campaign every year, where it's a celebration. We're going to be walking. We're going to be praying. We're going to be interceding like we always do, but it'll be a celebration as well. So you can click there, find out how you can be a part of that. Lovelife.org/celebrate life. And for me, this goes all the way back to like 2005, 2006. It was a 40 days for life thing. I got invited by a friend, Jan Lewis, who has been just a champion in the pro-life industry, serving on the front lines for a couple of decades now. And I showed up late, so nobody was there, and it was a Planned Parenthood in Chapel Hill, where Love Life actually goes every Saturday now, and I was there by myself. Now, I was a convictional pro-life Christian. I knew what was going on there, but I had never stood outside. Thank God I had never been inside, but I never stood outside. You just drive by them. You don't even know they exist, right? Out of sight, out of mind. And just to be there for an hour, walking up and down, praying, knowing, you know, 30 yards that way, inside that building, babies are being aborted. Moms are being deceived. Fathers are dropping them off and going down the street to get a coffee or whatever. And man, it was a shock to my system. And then I started to get involved as a pro-life Christian, actively. And then eventually when Love Life came around to Raleigh a few years ago, I'm like, yeah, well, how can I not get involved? And that you find out different ways that you can serve. And then last year, this is a deeply personal issue for me, more so than it ever has been, literally a year ago, when our son and his girlfriend came in and our pro-life chickens came home to roost, and they were pregnant. But they knew, here's the difference, they knew, all right, his parents, godly parents, that's me and my wife. Then there's godly parents on the other side, pro-life convictional Christians. They have help. They're not going to be thrown out. They're going to be helped. And baby Paxton will be at our house tonight. He's almost 5 months old. And you go, wow, there's the circumstance, and then there's the child. And all of a sudden, it's in your house, and you got to deal with it. And every child is a blessing, as my board chairman, Bob Touchton, says. At this point, who cares how Paxton came into the world? God knew a billion years ago Paxton was going to be here, and that's a blessing. But there's a lot of these women and men that walk into the clinic that you would see this Saturday when you come out to the Love Life Week 40 that don't have that kind of support. And so what do? Well, they get lied to and told we'll just take care of it. And so what's the answer? Is the Supreme Court important? Yes. Is the White House important? Yes. Is Congress important? Yes. But are they ultimately the answer? No, they're not. The answer is the church. And that's why we're talking to Josh Kappas from Love Life. The answer is the church, the church, the church. It's kind of like dealing with real estate, location, location, location. When it comes to the life issue, the church, the church, the church. Josh, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely, and I say amen and amen to everything you just said, brother.
Amen. And you guys have been a blessing and have helped me in my pro-life walk, and it's just been awesome. So a couple things going on this week. We have Week 40, a big celebration this Saturday, so we need to talk about that, but also something else you're doing online, which is really exciting as well.
Yeah, so we earlier this year, Justin brought it to our attention that this is the 100th anniversary of Margaret Sanger's meeting at the Plaza Hotel in New York City, November 11th through the 13th in 1921. She held a summit with national leaders to really cast her vision for the American Birth Control League, which then became Planned Parenthood, for her vision for eugenics and all of those things that Planned Parenthood has now tried to ironically distance themselves from. As they removed her name from the Margaret Sanger Center in Manhattan last year. And so we didn't want to let that go by without shining light on not just Margaret Sanger, but really the spirit behind this culture of death that is in the United States and really in the world. As 1.5 billion children have been aborted, best we can tell, since 1980 worldwide. And so we are hosting a live streaming event. By God's grace, we connected with a playwright in New York City who was very well versed in Margaret Sanger's life. He took her writings and speeches from that actual event at the Plaza Hotel and wrote three short films for us. And we've got an amazing creative team. They went to New York City. They actually filmed these short films. We got an actress that actually looks a little bit like Margaret Sanger.
Wow, man.
And so we filmed her in front of the plaza. We filmed her in front of Margaret Sanger's home. And then we filmed her in front of the Margaret Sanger Planned Parenthood.
Wow.
And so then we also gathered a group of panelists of the very people that Margaret Sanger wanted to eliminate. African Americans, Hispanics, people with disabilities, and we showed them these films and then captured their reactions and their commentary and their prayers. And so we're going to broadcast this streaming event this Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It'll be in our app, and then it'll be on our YouTube channel and on Facebook as well. And we just want to expose the darkness, and we're saying what Margaret Sanger wanted to eliminate, we are going to celebrate. And we're going to continue to champion those who she deemed as human weeds and unfit and not worthy of living.
Yeah, I just shared that link on the Facebook page. I Survived Sanger, the live stream, this Thursday at 8 p.m., 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Facebook page for Love Life, as well as the YouTube channel, and on the app. You can get the Love Life app, which will also help you with week 40 and all 40 of the weeks and how to get involved there. That's so powerful, and that's Thursday night. 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That'll be online. I just put the link up on the Facebook live feed. Tell us about week 40, because I'm super excited to be back out there with you guys, and it's going to be an awesome experience.
Yeah, so week 40 is really kind of our Super Bowl. It's a celebration week as we invite all of our churches back that have partnered with us throughout the year in all of our different cities just to celebrate what God has done. And if I could share a few of those things, we
sure.
have seen 939 babies saved just this year.
Oh, man.
And in addition to that, we're not even counting that, four more babies were saved here in Charlotte today, and one mom came to faith in Christ just today.
Wow. Praise
the Lord. In Charlotte. And so just it never gets old to see the pictures of these babies who are alive, and we're more and more now. Just a woman was walking down the street a few days ago. She had a Love Life shirt on, and a woman pulled a U-turn in the middle of the road and came back because she saw her Love Life shirt. And she said, "My baby is 3 years old today because you guys were out there."
Wow.
And so we're celebrating stories like that. I want to tell you Alicia's story that happened earlier this year. And this really just kind of shows not only a life being saved, but how the church becomes active. And so a gal named Anna at Jack Hibbs Church in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, she's a relatively new believer saved out of Buddhism. She starts volunteering with Love Life. And she was out at an abortion clinic during Easter week, sees a mom. The Holy Spirit leads her to talk to her. The mom chooses life. She invites her to Easter Sunday worship, and the mom gets saved Easter Sunday. She gets baptized in the Pacific Ocean by Pastor Jack Hibbs along with about 1,000 other believers. And then she went back to the abortion clinic to help another mom choose life.
Wow.
And her baby, Amara, was born a few weeks ago. And just so many cool stories like that, Steve. And really, it's ordinary people, just like you and me, that love Jesus and love people and realize, man, with the Spirit of God in us, we can make a difference in people's lives. And so we're celebrating those things. So week 40, all of our cities, you can go on that Celebrate Life landing page there. It lists all of our locations where prayer walks will be held. It will start 9 a.m. local time in each of those cities. And typically, week 40 is a little bit of a longer prayer walk. It'll go from 9 to 11. And so it's a family event. Bring your family. Yeah, you might get heckled a little bit, but that, you know, hey, at the end of the day, very rarely do we ever experience those things.
Yeah.
And so it brings a fiber to our faith and a conviction to what we believe. And we get to practice what Jesus said, to pray for those who persecute you, bless them and do not curse.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, bring your kids, bring your family. And be ready to press into prayer and watch God do miracles through his people and through his Spirit.
Yeah, because I've seen that myself outside the abortion clinics here in Raleigh and Chapel Hill with Love Life. I've seen those moments when people have chosen life. I saw one earlier this year when mom went in and found out she was having twins and chose life. I mean, you don't get to see it every time, but you're going to see it enough that you realize, okay, that's God is working here, and you're just standing there quietly, lovingly, patiently across the street in praise and worship. A good chunk of the radio audience, you have options here, okay? Charlotte, Greensboro, Raleigh, Greenville, South Carolina. We're live on in Greenville, South Carolina right now. There's locations there for all of you. So this Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m., come out for week 40. Lovelife.org/celebrate life is the deal. And 9 to 11, and this is the one thing that's really interesting, Josh, is that you really see the body of Christ operating, because not everybody intercedes in the same way. You got different denominations. You have Catholics, you have Protestants, you have people that are calling out to the moms or the dads and engaging other people, like on the Love Life side, just prayer and worship. But that's the body of Christ. Back to Nehemiah, you mentioned earlier, we all have a different place on the wall, but that's a wall that we all need to take our place on.
That's right. In chapter 3 of Nehemiah, the phrase next to is listed, I think, almost 20 times.
Wow.
It's the Levite next to the priest, next
there you
to
go.
The ironsmith, everybody working together across denominations, across racial
Amen.
Divides. And it's a fulfillment of John 17 for us to be unified so that the world may believe that God sent Jesus into the world and that he loves the world.
Yeah, how beautiful it is when the saints dwell together in unity. So powerful. Josh Kappas, Love Life, lovelife.org/celebrate life. As well as this Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time, I Survived Sanger. What Margaret Sanger wanted to eliminate, we're going to celebrate. That'll be on the YouTube channel, the app, as well as Facebook. Josh, I love you, bro. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you, man. Appreciate
All right.
you, buddy.
You too. We'll talk
Bye.
Soon. All right, everybody. There you go. There's your marching orders, lovelife.org/celebrate life. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.